Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
This is your host, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today that you've been listening to is Lily Garcia Catala, author of her ninth book, Y Sigo Fluyendo, based on her years as a columnist, 40 that she chose for the 40 years that she's been. This is like my triathlons, you know.
Yes.
1 mile.
Yes, like your triathlons. 40 years in the media.
And we had the number of themes, and we're now on the aging one, and basically, it has changed quite a bit. One of the things, in terms of the judges, this judge 92 was going to be handling the Maduro case, and people are criticizing, and I get kind of upset with that, because I think age depends on the particular
right.
person. And this Robert Friedman, San Juan Star, and the now he's on his on the seventh. He's already on his eighth. He just published his eighth novel, and he's working on a new
at
one.
92.
And there's been all kinds of examples of people exceedingly.
Doing great things in their 80s.
And completely under control
sure.
of all their mental. And of course, we all suffer at 92, the physical, but and there's some aspects of the mental that we saw. But so there was this other, that I don't know him, but Felito Felix.
Yes, Felito Felix.
And at 87, he went back to make sure that his voice was okay, and it turned out that it was.
Yeah.
And after 10 years of grieving, he lost his wife after 50 years of mm-hmm. marriage. And he came back, and he's there. He's going to have
recently,
on the 24th of January, he's going to
yes,
have his...
a concert.
His,
we recently lost Rafael Itier, the creator and director of El Gran Combo. He was in his 90s
late also.
90s.
Yeah.
And he was playing piano until 5 years ago,
yes,
you know?
And then you have the other side of the coin, and unfortunate is... The doctor Umberto Guillot died at 47, and
great guy.
He was the director. You know.
Oh, I've interviewed him many times in the past 2 years.
So he's the director of the Centro Comprensivo de Cancer, and he dies of cancer. And he says on his deathbed, he was still working and giving instructions and telling people yeah. things he's learned as a patient.
I'm in medical journalism now. I'm working with a website and media, multimedia. It's called Be Health, mm-hmm. and we do events. And we do a lot of events and interview a lot of doctors from the Centro Comprensivo de Cancer, and mm-hmm. I've interviewed him a few times mm-hmm. as a medical director and as a cancer patient. And what really struck me every time, first, his optimism. He had pancreatic cancer, so it was a cancer that he knew after the diagnosis, which I think was 2024.
24, yeah.
That he wasn't going to last long, but there was a clinical trial that he went and gave him extra time.
Right.
The last time I interviewed him, I think, was in October last year. I saw him because I was at an event there for breast cancer patients. I was there with my cousin, Marian Pavon. I did a motivational talk, and she did a stand-up as a survivor
mm-hmm.
because she'd been in remission for a year and a half now, and he was there. And he was always so enthusiastic. He was always working. He was always so proud of what the Centro Comprensivo de Cancer was mm-hmm. doing, which is really, really for all of us to be proud of, because it's a great institution. Mm-hmm. I love going there.
And as an expert in cancer, to hear
infectologo, right?
Yeah, to hear him saying, it doesn't sound like he's saying la prognosis era extremadamente pobre y la esperanza de vida era bien reducida. Mm-hmm. Explicó en entrevista en septiembre de 24.
Right.
So he says that throughout he used his experience as a patient to tell the staff how important empathy and how to handle patients.
Yes.
And there he was, working to the very end and explaining to people what he was going through, the optimism and the pessimism and the reality, and just completely the reality of what he was facing. So that's the other side of the coin people completely productive at 92.
Right.
Person who completely productive, but unfortunately at 47, right, almost half the age, dying from this awful disease, cancer.
And then you have people who are walking around like zombies, dead when they're alive.
Right.
And they're not taking advantage of life, and they're living in constant complaining and constant regret and constant anger, which to me is worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
Because those are the moments that you should sit down and say, okay, so do I want to feel like this when the shuttle goes, when I leave, when I die? Or is there something that I can do to prepare myself to die in peace?
Yeah.
There's
two aspects of it. One of I just say you're the process, and there's an article on what you would like to be como de viejita,
in the book, yes.
Of course.
What I would like not to and what I would like to be as an old woman.
So you go through the list of how you would, and you've been a caregiver now, two aunts and
my dad
and your dad and
my mom now
in terms of what you think as we age what do you think is important that for our well-being for our well-being and the people around us
there are many, but let go of attachments. That's one. And attachments, people always think of attachment as the physical things, having too much. But it's always opinions are attachments. Being all the way to the right or all the way to the left. And I'm not talking politically, but in general, not living the middle way.
Mm-hmm.
Being drastic is an attachment to anything. And I think attachments slow us down in many ways. There's an incredible show I saw it on Peacock, the streaming channel, and it's called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. And it sounds really depressing, but it's actually produced by a comedian. And she brought it to the US from Sweden because they have this idea that as I start cleaning my surrounding, I start giving away stuff, I start making things a little lighter around me, I will make life easier for those who stay after I leave. And in a way, for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because she brings then people who will help you decide what to give away, what to keep, what to throw out, what to... And at the same time, you can adapt that to your attachments, emotional attachments. Why do I have to have so many things? Why do I have to? And it's not necessarily being a hoarder, but we do get attached to stuff. That's one. And the other one is anger. I don't want to be an angry old lady. I want to be able to forgive as I go along. Because anger, speaking about the Buddha, he said that being angry at someone, resenting someone, it's like wanting to give them poison, but you're taking it yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because nobody cares. They're walking around and maybe they hurt you. Maybe they're, conscious about it. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're sorry. Maybe they're not. But it's your process to forgive. And as you keep, it's like putting baggage on you all the time, all the time as you... And some people, as they age, they grow more resentful with age. And I think that's so sad because it should be a time where you should be rejoicing what you have. And I'm not taking value off whatever happened to you. I'm not devaluating it. I'm validating your pain, but deal with it, please.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you're going to carry it until your deathbed, and nobody wants to be dying and to be able to not say I forgive you or not ask for the forgiveness that you want to be given.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
mm-hmm.
At least ask for it. You don't know if you're going to get it, but at least ask for it. And I think those are some of the things that I would want as I grow older in order to make my, you know, my leaving the earth a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be painful physically.
See.
And we don't know how we're going to die.
Right.
But we can always aspire at dying in a more emotionally peaceful way. And you see it in people around you.
The thing that I think of, you know, like your mother, as a good example. When I think of the things I want to see if I can avoid, is not be a complainer,
right?
And to be, you know, as positive under all the circumstances
as you
can. And so, you know, you have. When your kids go and see you, you say, "Oh, you haven't come and seen me so long. You know,
right.
You don't love me." You know, and so you know it's so counterproductive. or the whole thing is, you know, I'm this hurts. And it's just, you know, complaining, and it's counterproductive. Because it drives people away just
right.
from what you want. So. Easier said than done.
Oh, clearly no, of
easier
course.
Said than done.
I mean, we don't know how we're going to be feeling.
But you see, and you see it in people young all the way through. But right. and it's as one of the things I would like to be able to control, which, as you say, you don't know under what circumstances.
No, but people, usually you're not a complainer. So I don't think that's going to be an issue when you get older.
Well,
but I mean, but there are people that are complainers all their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just, I mean, a complainer is just someone who is living in the past,
yeah,
period.
Yeah.
Because you're living in the present, you are grateful. You're not a complainer.
Yeah.
You're grateful for whatever minute you have left, and you don't want to bring issues that are painful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unless it's something that, because that is very important, talking about things that you need to talk. As a thanatologist or end-of-life specialist, if I'm dealing with people who have terminal diseases or families who are dealing with a loved one who's going to die because, I mean, they're already in hospice or whatever, it's you ask that person, who would you like to talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody we can call that you haven't seen in a while?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to tell us, if the person can speak, of course? But it's important because at that moment, maybe there's more clarity,
mm-hmm.
and maybe people are more open to talk about things they never did, or maybe they want to ask for forgiveness for someone, or
mm-hmm.
or maybe you want to tell somebody off.
Yeah.
But at least give them the opportunity. And what is important, too, is to talk about this because we're all going to die. And the problem is that usually the person who's sick doesn't want to talk to the family about her or his feelings because they're afraid that the family's thinking, oh, he wants to die. Oh, she's throwing in the towel. She's giving up. And then the family won't talk to the person about what they want.
Mm-hmm.
What would you want to be done after you die? What do you want your service to be like? Who would you like to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to think, oh, we're telling them they're dying. Well, they are dying.
Yeah.
So I remember my dad died 10 years ago, but before that, I talked to him and my mom, and I said, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? What do you want me to organize, us to organize the kids? And I felt comfortable talking about it with
mm-hmm,
him
mm-hmm.
because then I knew what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
With my mother, she changes her mind every 2 weeks. So what she said then, I don't know if it's still there. But yeah, he wanted to be cremated and, you know, let mom keep the ashes and do whatever she wants. That was like that all their lives. Whatever mom says. Whatever mom says. So,
I'm kind of laughing because I want to be cremated, and my Pinky says she's not going to cremate me.
Well, she has to. You just said it on the air. Okay.
Can you believe that though? Yeah. So anyway, but have you seen the movie Goodbye June? In Netflix?
No.
It's an excellent movie. Three daughters. Two daughters.
And it's on that topic.
Topic. A person terminal ill, and the children come in, and then the husband, to grips with it. It's a very well done movie. It's got.
And you as a lawyer know also
Netflix.
How important it is to have everything written. Because the problem is you have a large family. There's six kids at home. I mean, there's six of us. And if people have different views and you never ask the person, then you can cause a lot of conflict. And if you're going through a grieving period, that can make it into a tough grieving period, tougher than it has to be, because it creates a lot of fissures in your family. No, I think she would have wanted this. She wanted this. She told me she wanted this. And this is it. So yes, you should talk to your daughters about it and your son. So they know, look, this is what he wanted.
So it sounds like we've run out of time and to end with death, but that's the way it ends. But I think it's important. It's just another transformation experience, and we have to plan for it and work with it and look at it
for it internally and externally.
So, Lily, thank you for joining
me
again. We have I have a number of other topics, and we'll have you back periodically. It's so enjoyable having you with me in this program. So, out there, I hope this has been some pretty deep stuff here. Take care. See you next week. Que Dios los bendiga.
Gracias.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.